Thank you very much for the invitation. You'll have to put up with me because I'm the finance geek for the College of Ag and Life Sciences. I'm happy to be here. So one of the things that we've been struggling through in Arizona is, as all of my colleagues I think are probably going to say, budget cuts, budget challenges. But we've also had a focus on trying to re-engage with the original Hatch Act and what really we're trying to accomplish with our experiment station organization. And we've gone through a brand new process we're trying to change. And one of the things that we've first did before we even got started in figuring out what we're going to change is this came from the Pew Research Center, but it highlights, I think it's in one slide, kind of consolidates some of the things we were seeing and recognizing when we would go out and talk with stakeholders, talk with legislators, talk with families about what they were interested in from us. One of the things they were interested in from us, and if you look at the light blue four-year public, primarily it's teaching. There's very little in terms of research. There's very little awareness in terms of research, very little awareness in terms of cooperative extension or any kind of broader public service mission. So the focus here, I think our takeaway was we have a lot more education, a lot more engagement that we need to do to help them understand it. Just in the mid-90s, there was a huge whitefly epidemic here in Arizona. And that epidemic wasn't just affecting the cotton crop. It was also affecting when you would, here in Phoenix or in Tucson or in Flagstaff, you would go out and at different times of year, you would get you might be running or whatever, and you'd have to wear a mask because there were so many white flies in different areas. Through some of our cooperative extension and our experiment station site up at Maricopa Agricultural Center, we were testing new techniques, new technology that actually created, we don't have a white fly epidemic anymore in Arizona. And that was a $700 million impact to the state. Those are things that we need to make sure that we're communicating in a way that urban folks as well as rural folks get. About 75% of the state is rural. And so there's really only three population centers that are of any size, Flagstaff, Phoenix, and Tucson. Yuma is quite large, but you have to include the entire catchment area for Yuma, including Mexico and the Imperial Valley, and that's about 1 million people if you include that. Otherwise, it's about 200,000. So if you look at the experiment stations that we have around the site, and I need to qualify when I say experiment stations, I mean experiment station units. I know I get in trouble sometimes with some diehard folks that there is no plural experiment stations, but I've been slapped a couple times for that, but forgive me. So we have 12 locations around the state. It's about 140,000 acres in total that we either lease from the federal government or that we own. About half of it we own, about half we lease in grazing, large-scale grazing permits. And again, we're trying to focus on those areas that they want, that the constituents of the state of Arizona want us to be in, not what we want to tell them we think we can do. And I think that's an important message that we have to constantly re-deliver is two-way communication. We need to understand what's going on. Starting with the process, we really started to look at an environmental scan of what's going on. We went through a SWOT analysis of where we think we can do better, where we think we have opportunities. There's a couple areas that I think that we've really struggled with. One is that the experiment station was really not a system. It was a loose-knit of 12 different organizations kind of operating on their own. They were doing good work, but they weren't necessarily working as a system or working together in a coordinated fashion. We also we've struggled with a sense of no one really knew what we were doing and no one really cared. That was the worst part. And I think it was the legislators, it was the regents, it was even our president and provost. They have a sense of what land grant means in a general sense, but when it comes to actually what it is that we're doing for the state and what they as the land-grant university, have an obligation to do. I think there was a lack of information there that we needed to do a much better job at. We have a new budget system we just implemented at the University of Arizona, the Responsibility Center Management Model. And I won't bore you with that, but it's basically a performance-based model. You have to perform in order to get budget. If you don't perform, budget is removed. And so there's this was a threatening kind of a view that we've been dealing with. We've got water issues in the state of Arizona. We've got the Central Arizona Project, and I'll show you that in a separate slide. And then, in the last 15 years, there's been about 10 of those years have been budget cuts. So since 9/11. So we're still working through a lot of these things, but this all kicked off around 2015. So we're still in the middle of change, but a lot of change has already happened. One of the challenges that we have is with water, and one of our sites, our largest site, is 2,100 acres. It's the Maricopa Agricultural Center. It also co-locates the USDA Arid Land Agricultural Research Center there, and we just kicked off a new phenology program, the gantry or scanalyzer is what it's called, and we've had the Department of Energy and the Department of Agriculture there, just a very large ribbon-cutting ceremony last this summer. But one of the challenges that we have is that water, it's pretty much been run on well water for a long time. With the Central Arizona Project, we were able to use some of that water at lower cost to fulfill our mission there on the farm. We've also then opened up reclaimed water and are starting to use reclaimed water, but I'm sure with all of you know, at some point reclaimed water is not going to be given away for free. It's going to become a commodity that we're going to have to pay for. Those are challenges. With Lake Mead, having the ag subsidy go away at below 1,075 feet. As I checked last month in October, it was 1,076. So that's when water rationing starts for Arizona. It depends on all of the different groups in the compact, but that's a serious issue that we have to be addressing and figuring out for the state. These aren't just how we operate. This is how the state agriculture is going to operate when so much of it comes from either well water or from CAP. We also have a major poverty problem in the state. This is something that we wanted to recognize and bring into our environmental scan. The fourth highest poverty rate in the United States. Again, if you go into the rural parts of Arizona, it's very high. It's much higher than in urban parts. These are areas that we need to be a solution for the state, not just a mouth to feed. And so when we go to the state legislature or the governor's office, we can say to them that we are solving a problem for you, whether it's maybe we're doing on the site there teaching kids through cooperative extension how to brush their teeth, and we can then show brushing your teeth actually impacts fewer kids having health problems later on or whatever it might be and having an impact on Medicare in the state. Those kinds of things are important messages that we've just didn't address. And now we're actually addressing it, and we're getting into not just process outputs, but outcomes, and really getting into what are the outcomes that we're trying to do to benefit the state of Arizona, benefit the citizens of the state. And I think that solution-oriented approach is an important one that we need to do a better job at, but we've really recognized and started to address it. I won't belabor this, but with the general fund, for the University of Arizona, not just the College of Ag and Life Sciences or the Experiment Station, has really been flat over the last 15 years. With cuts, we've always seen an increase later on for some program or some issue. So the budget hasn't really been all that great as a general fund. It's an important component to our overall budget, but it's not the driving force. The orange line is what we're actually self-generating now, or the difference between the blue and the orange is what we're self-generating now in terms of tuition revenue, in terms of enterprise funds, in terms of a variety of things. I think the important thing here is that the message is a positive one. The state of Arizona has asked us to be more entrepreneurial, and we have delivered. In spades, we have delivered. And so that's an important message that needs to come out. The problem with the message is it's two-way. It's a double-edged there. The more entrepreneurial we are, the more likely the state is going to want us to be even more entrepreneurial. So at some point, we need to get to a conversation with the state about what is a baseline. I mean, I don't think we can call ourselves a state university anymore. I think we have to call ourselves a state-sponsored university. And so at what point is that sponsorship there? You know, because we still have all the same handcuffs to do business that any other state agency or enterprise that is fully funded by the state has, with RFP requirements or all the various kinds of oversight mechanisms that are out there. So at what level is the right sponsorship in that exchange? So we're still figuring that out, but that's an important one. If you look at the difference between the two on a percentage basis, general fund has supported the University of Arizona about 33% back in 2001, and it's now down to below 13%. So those are important messages that we as a body have to recognize, because it changes the dynamic of the faculty. The faculty might not recognize that, and it's been an eye-opener for most of them. They think that they have state funding. They come to work, and they will be guaranteed state funding. Now we're saying you actually have to generate tuition through credit hours, enrollments. You have to be part of helping us bring in these dollars to fund this enterprise. So some of the solutions, and I'm not sure how I'm doing on time, but you tell me. Okay, I'll rush. So one of the challenges that we had is that the experiment station is a very political organization. It's highly, I mean, as they say, all politics is local. And so when you go to the experiment station, you get an earful from the local constituents and stakeholders about how important it is. So one of the challenges that we had is being unbiased as we started to look at what we're trying to do. We hired an outside organizational development person to come in and really vet what we're doing, talk with us over the course of 5 months. We've had very hard conversations around this issue, including a two-day retreat where we really challenged one another. I mean, building trust was the first step. It's very hard to have a straight conversation if you don't have trust about stuff. This ended up resulting in a brand new mission and a brand new purpose. The mission is emphasizing that we are infrastructure. In the state of Arizona, we have a cooperative extension line item in the budget, and we have a College of Agriculture line item in the budget. And that College of Agriculture is both the teaching and the research component. And so the research, the experiment station is part of that research component. So it doesn't have its own budget line. And one of the things that we were finding is that they were directly competing for resources with the academic units doing the lab-based teaching and research. And that was not a scenario that we could justify any longer, and that was something we really wanted to change. So one of the ways that we're doing that is focusing on infrastructure, that we're providing the necessary tools and equipment and technology to be able to do the work in the field and then apply it to such as that white fly epidemic. The other thing is that we do recognize the value across the state of the teaching, research, and cooperative extension mission that each of these sites play. And we actually do have graduate students out there. We have over 100,000 4-H students in the state who are going through there. So they're future wildcats. They just don't know it yet. So we're trying to indoctrinate them into some of the future of what they can do. Because again, a lot of these 4-H students are in rural areas. If you can train those students how to raise animals or raise, you know, do farming better, or just be more mindful of home economics or any of the other things that we teach them, they're going to be able to have greater economic development in their own local community as they get older and see the impact of what they do. So it's focused us on how the experiment station supports the system, not how we support the experiment station. One of the other challenges that we ran into was a traditional challenge where we had 49% of the faculty that were stationed at experiment station units were actually their budget and their performance appraisals were being done at the units. It really wasn't a great setup. We had some faculty that weren't getting any performance appraisals, some that were getting two. Some of those were being conflicting. A variety of different problems that were coming up. So there really wasn't any kind of control or oversight. So what we did is moved all 100% of the responsibility over the faculty, tenured faculty that are out at the experiment station sites, to the academic home where they are tenured. That built a lot more collaboration and collegiality with one another, with their faculty there, and it also got the faculty that were at the experiment station sites out of some of the politics that were going on at the local level, focused them back on what their mission was, not on who their group was right there at the site, and that was hard. Some of the faculty did not want to do that. I think now they're actually. The esprit de corps is much higher than it was, and they recognize the value of it. But at the time, it was hard. One of the ways that we've had to do some of these changes is we have to use budget as the carrot and the stick mechanism in order to make it happen. And so it can swing both ways. You either get more money for doing great things, or you get less money for not doing things that you need to do. It's not a punishment. It's just a recognition of those who are most contributing to the organization. And we started through a zero-based budget process 2 years ago so that each year we reestablish what their budget should be based on they will justify line item by line item, and then we'll go through and look at it together in a collaborative way and then establish it through a new leadership council that we have at the experiment station level. This process, again, has emphasized that the AES serves a mission greater than itself, and that was something that we had to do. The impact so far. So again, looking at process, outputs, and outcomes, this is still early in the stages of this, but we've really had to focus on education. So we've been doing a lot more tours. We've been able to get the president, the provost, out to some of the experiment sites. We've been able to get them to talk with some of the stakeholders. That was huge for the stakeholders. And it was huge for the president and the provost as well. They recognized something that they didn't see before. They're great folks, and they know a lot about what's going on, but they didn't have a sense of boots on the ground of what land-grant mission really means. And so having them there was awesome. We've also been able to open up some small grant incentives to encourage faculty from across the university to get involved on do research on the experiment station sites. And we don't care if they're from the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. We have actually an increase in the number of folks from science, College of Science. We even have a couple coming from, or already there, from Optical Sciences doing solar projects and things at the sites. We just want to make sure that they're used as a resource. So engaging externally, being more nimble, articulating among the faculty so that they have a better sense of how they interact and how they contribute, all of those things leads to a focus on what we're doing for the state, the stakeholders, getting out of the internal focus and into the external. It's been, this is kind of in chess, the phrase was play the board, not the piece. I think a long time we were playing the piece. That's all we were doing is focusing on the day-to-day, how to get things done, and not seeing where can we be a solution for the state. How can we solve a problem and not just be on drip feed from state funding? We've created two-way communication with citizens. That's been a lot more productive. They feel more engaged than they ever have, our stakeholders. And we're gaining more acceptance among unit leaders. There's still a lot more to do. But and this is early in the process, but we'll have to see where this goes. It's to our benefit in the state of Arizona if we can make sure that we're doing the right things for the future. So with that, I will.
Any questions for Jeff?
You mentioned a couple times during your presentation here that you're pushing
does your university then define as great thanks?
So right now, that's a great question. Most of it is defined around teaching and research activities. So teaching would be student credit hours, and this is our view of RCM, the Responsibility Center Management. There's about 60 or 70 different universities around the country that are already using it or are planning to use it. So student credit hours is a big one. Enrollments and majors is another big driver. And then research expenditures is a big one on the research side. We're focused on research expenditures rather than indirect cost generation, because so many of our grants, especially in agriculture and the land grant field, are low IDC grants or no IDC grants. So it would unfairly harm the land grant mission if we focused only on IDC production. This is not something that the faculty are really comfortable with. They're feeling that they are being their contributions are being boiled down to numbers. That's something we're still working through, but the president and the provost, the board of regents, are all extremely supportive of trying to move in a different direction than just a baseline funding model. Yes.
I found your slide about moving the faculty into campus departments fascinating, because I'm actually getting the opposite pressure.
Okay.
From two different entities. One is our partners on the ground, the agricultural sector and related, they are deeply concerned that when our folks get too entangled, is actually the word they love to use, with the campus and its culture, that they start forgetting their extension and their community mission. And we have seen that. And then at the opposite end, my folks who are on the campuses are complaining because when merit and promotion occurs, they feel like they're being held to criteria for ladder-ranked faculty who have a teaching mission, which is not their mission. And it's very challenging for them in the merit and promotion system. So we're actually getting pressed to decentralize a bit, still have that strong campus relationship, but find a way to balance it. I'm curious how that's working out for you.
We haven't experienced this. That we've actually had the opposite come true, where we were having faculty on the experiment sites not really sure what their job was, because they were being pulled in so many different directions. Having a faculty head who knows exactly what their job was supposed to do, whether it's soil, water, environmental science, or entomology, or whatever. And we have a very strong focus on cooperative extension embedded in each of our academic units and specialists, so that they're like 70% appointment is cooperative extension, but 30% is research. So we haven't had that same problem, and actually the growers have come back and said that they feel that they're actually serving, the specialists are serving their mission better. It might just be different strokes for different folks.
All right. I think we better move on. Thanks so much, Jeff. That was very interesting.